Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing. Relevant. Real.
Try to move things along here. Matthew chapter 7. So we've been in the book of Matthew, working our way through that. This last few messages we've called True Spirituality in a Real World. In other words, what does spirituality really look like in our world, you know? How does it look for us today? How did it look for during Jesus' time? I think many times spirituality gets confused with self-righteousness or this perception of what we should look like being religious. Have you ever had anybody say, hey, you're religious or you look religious? You ever had? Yeah, it's kind of like, I know what they mean, but that's not, I just don't want to appear to be religious, or just because I go to church, I don't want to be called religious. Does that make sense? I want it to be that relationship with Christ. I want them to see godly virtues in my life, that there's something different in me. It's not that I just go to church. It has to be more than that. It has to be that there's something in me that is different than the rest of the world. Amen? All right. So all this is still a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is on that hillside overlooking Jerusalem, east of Jerusalem, teaching people out there. And so some of his core teachings are included in these chapters of three. I might be wrong here. Six. 5, 6, and 7. There we go. All right. So we're going to be in chapter 7. I've entitled the message this morning to stay golden. All right. How many have used that expression? You said, oh, that's golden, or you stay golden. All right. My kids use it a lot, okay? Right? If you're in college age, they use that a lot. Some of that terminology, it's out there. Especially my middle son, Mark, he'll say, oh, that's golden, or something like that. What does that mean? Well, let's give a little definition of what that means. First of all, golden means to do something right or well. Okay? If you did it, yeah, that's golden. You mean you did it right, you did it well. To stay golden means, it comes actually from a poem that Robert Frost wrote. And it means to be true to yourself, innocent, uncorrupted, unblemished, etc. Stay innocent in a harsh world. So, we're going to come back to that in the conclusion. This idea of what it means to stay golden. So we're going to begin in verses 1 through 6 of Matthew chapter 7. If you have your copy of God's Word, and let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your Word that is able to guide and direct us. It is the living Word of God. And Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit to come and make it come alive for us, Lord God. Let it instruct us and help us in the way we should go, how we should live, how we should think, how we should speak, how we are to interact with our world around us, with people around us. That's what we're going to talk about today, God. So help us. We give you the thanks and the praise. Your name we ask. Amen. So the last 2 weeks dealt with more our personal spirituality. Today is more interpersonal. So my spirituality with other people, okay? Including within the church and outside the church. Our spirituality should impact that as well. So the personal spirituality had to do with fasting, with prayer, giving, those things that had to do with what my spirituality should look like personally. But now we're kind of seeing how it impacts me and my relationships, the interpersonal relationships. So let's look at verses 1 through 6. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Did you know that's the most popular verse? Even non-Christians know that. Okay? In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the same measure you use, standard, whatever criteria you use to judge others, you yourself will be judged. It will be measured to you. Verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye when you have a big old plank, a big old log in your eye? Imagine walking around with that. I remember one year I actually brought a 2x4. How many remember that? I brought a 2x4 and I walked around with it. That was pretty cool. I'm slipping. All right. So we're worried about the speck of sawdust in our neighbor's eye, but we got a big old log sticking out of ours, right? And it's just knocking everybody over when we walk around, right? We can't see it. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when at the same time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. Remember, that's the mask. You're putting on that spiritual mask. That's what hypocrite comes from. First take the plank out of your own eye, then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give to dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls before pigs. If you do, they will trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. So let's look at this. Jesus is talking about relationships with other people. And the first thing that he says, do not judge others. For the same measure you judge others, you yourself will be judged. Now, I think, just to be honest here, if you talk to people outside the church, people that are unchurched, they don't know God, and they find out that you are a Christian, did you know that they are, in our culture, in our day and age, they're already feeling judged by you? Did you know that? Especially if they know that I'm a pastor. I don't let people know that I'm a pastor. I try not to do that because they already begin to feel judged by me, even though I say nothing, I don't do anything. They're feeling judged, all right? That is the culture that we live in. And I think what we deal with in our culture is that the church knows what we're against more than they know what we are for, right? They know that the church doesn't like abortion. What are some of the other things? Or maybe homosexuality, addiction. Yeah. So they know the church is against some of those things. But they don't know what we stand for in the relationship, the love of God that changed and transformed us, the grace of God. And so the world is very sensitive to that. And so you don't even have to say anything, and people already feel judged. And you have to understand that when you're talking to people in our culture today, that is the environment that we live in. And so it probably means that we have to emphasize grace and love more than anything, right? Because they're already putting their guard up, all right? So he says, with the same measure that we judge other people, we ourselves will be judged. That's pretty sobering. And you can do your own evaluation how you have judged other people. Sometimes we can be pretty critical, okay? I'll let you be the judge of that for yourself, okay? But we can be pretty critical in what, if we are judging other people that way, you know what? If we were to put that same measure, that same criteria against ourselves, how would we measure up? And so in what Jesus is saying in this teaching is that he forbids us to pronounce someone guilty before God. That's what judging means. We're pronouncing them guilty before God. Wow. Now, who is the judge? Are we to be judges? No, who is the judge? God, Jesus, right? There's going to be a day that there's going to be the white throne judgment, and each person is going to be judged for what they did or did not do, all right? There is going to be a day of reckoning, and nobody's going to be able to escape it. And unlike proceedings that happen in our day and age in court of law, we only get some of the truth. I mean, they do their best to get the whole truth, but can we be honest? Judgment isn't always served, right? They do their best. But they don't always know the thoughts and intents of the heart, but God does. And he sees everything, done in secret and in public. He knows it all. He'll be able to judge everybody according to what they have done, they thought, what they've spoken. He'll be able to judge all that. And what Jesus is calling us to do is not to judge other people, to pronounce them guilty before him. That isn't our right. That isn't our role. That isn't what God has called us to do. Now, we will rule with him in eternity, it says, during the millennial reign of Christ, but that is after he's taken us out, okay, and to be with him. But that's a different role. That's a different time. Right now, God has not called us to judge. He's called us to love people and to show them the love of Christ. And the point that we want to get, and it even goes in a little bit further, he says that, so take the plank out of your own eye so that you can then see clearly the speck in the other person's eye. We can really be blind, can't we? We can go into some place and we see all the clutter in their home, but you know what? The the clutter in your home, you've totally become oblivious to. Why? Because you see it every day, right? You just become blind to it. It happens so easily. We become blind to our flaws. Now, if we really wanted to get nitty-gritty, we could talk about husbands and wives and right, you know, they, right? Your spouse maybe sees this, and it's kind of like, yeah. We won't go too far there. Take the plank out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to move the sawdust. And then verse 6, do not give to dogs what is sacred. What's this all about? Don't throw your pearls before pigs, before swine. They'll trample under them. In fact, even you get a mad pig. You ever been attacked by a pig? Been in the farm? No. I wouldn't want to, okay? You get wild boars, they can be pretty mean. What's this about? This is my take on it. My take on it is that we are to judge. But we're not supposed to judge others. Who are we supposed to judge? Bingo. And that is the point. Judge your life, not others. That's the first principle. Judge your life, not others. That is what we are to judge. We are to judge our own life. Why? Because if we don't take care of our life and properly judge our own actions, our thoughts, and behaviors, we, the testimony of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ in our life, is ridiculed amongst the world. And they trample all over it. And every time that Christians are in the media or in a public place and they mess up, and they aren't judging themselves, their own life, they cause the testimony of Christ to be trampled upon in the world. You catching me on that? And, you know, it's one thing when sinners sin. Okay, that's what sinners do, right? And we're all sinners saved by God's grace. But when we wear that label, Christian, when we have let Christ redeem our life, he's called us to a higher standard. We are to judge our own life. And that keeps me pretty busy, honestly. Okay? You know, if I'm really to judge my life according to Scripture, that keeps me plenty busy. I don't have much time. I shouldn't have much time to judge other people. Are you following me on that? Judge your life, not others. I think that is what Jesus was trying to really get at, is that not to judge others, but to judge ourselves. It'll keep the perspective right, and then we'll be able to love other people. To me, that is what true spirituality is all about. All right? Point 2, let's go verses 7 through 11. Depending on what translation you have, I see the NIV goes through verse 12 in that section. ESV cuts it off before that. So they put verse 12 in the next paragraph. So it's all how you see the original language, the Greek. In this case, it would be the New Testament, the Greek, and how you interpret it. There's judgments that are made there. So let's look at that. It says, ask and it'll be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent or a snake? If you then, though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, how many have heard a teaching on this? Right? Ask, seek, and knock. And usually it's maybe taught or preached in the context that if we have needs or have things, we are to come before God, and God, if we ask, seek, and knock, God will not hear those prayers, right? Right? And usually we think probably material things, food, clothing, just needs within our own life. And I don't think that's totally out of context. I believe that we are to bring those requests before God, okay? But the context, you're yanking that right out of a context that Jesus is talking about how we treat other people. And that doesn't fit, praying for our needs does not fit in that context. Are you following me? So what is he asking that we are to be asking, seeking God for? What are we supposed to be asking God for? Ooh, very good. Very good. Guidance. You know, dealing with people and relationships, is it always black and white? It's not. Some of the hardest, most anxious, difficult moments in your life is to, what should I do? How should I react to a person in a certain way? You can go by the textbook, but textbooks don't always You know, you get a, you have a child, and you think you got that child figured out, you know, and this is how they respond. Then God gives you another child, and they're totally different, right? It's kind of like, and then you get a third one, right? Right? It's just, you can't figure it out. Each relationship is different. There's different dynamics there, right? And what I believe Jesus is saying, if you ask, you seek, and knock, God is going to give you the wisdom and the knowledge to know how to respond in a way that honors Him, that glorifies Him. Amen? Now, what we sometimes miss in the context here is that in the English language, ask, seek, and knock. It's just, boom, ask, seek, knock. But in the Greek, it's keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking until you get the answer. Okay? Are you following me on that? And I think that is sometimes, as from our perspective, we think, you know, I asked God about that and God hasn't answered. And God is not going to be put off by your persistence. In fact, we are to keep asking, seeking, and knocking until we get the answer. How long is that going to take? However long it takes. It may take a day, it may take an hour, it may take a week, it may take years. Ask, seek, and knock, and the door will be open to you. I believe it can have to do with material things or things we're seeking answer in prayer. But if you're going to be consistent with the context here, it really has to do with how we react to others. Now, think about that for a moment. Think about those times that you've reacted in a way that didn't glorify God, whether it was by words, whether it was by actions. Maybe you just punched somebody. I know none of you had ever punched somebody. Maybe you walked away in a huff. Just think about how would asking, seeking, and knocking and seeking God for wisdom, how would that change your reaction and how you respond to people? Would that change things? Go and count to 10 and ask, seek, and knock. Right? It has to do with our kids. It has to do with people we work with. It has to do with people we interact with in our community. How we interact with people. The point we want to catch here is that we are to prevail in prayer for wisdom. Prevail in prayer. So the prevail part talks about the asking, the seeking, and knocking until we get the answer. And we have to understand that God is not deaf, but at the same time, He wants us to keep coming to Him and be persistent. Now, how many of you have a persistent kid? All right. Yeah, I mean, there's some kids, they'll ask you once and then they go off and do their own thing. But there's some kids, they're just persistent. And finally, you just kind of like, okay, go do it, right? Because they're persistent, right? That is what God wants us to do. He's our Father in heaven. And He's not turned off by it. He wants to know, hey, they're serious about this. Ask, seek, and knock until you have the answer. He's not going to give you a stone instead of a loaf of bread, right? He's not going to give you a serpent instead of something beneficial. He's going to give you what you need, the wisdom and the guidance, the knowledge that you need to go forward. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. God will not mislead you. He's not going to play tricks on you. He's your Father in heaven. He desires the best for your life. And He wants you to bring Him glory through your actions and how you interact with other people. Amen? Point 3, verse 12. Some of you maybe know this. So in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So you may have heard it said, do to others as you'd have them do to you, right? We call that the golden rule. There's the golden, isn't it? The golden rule. There were other sayings around the time of Jesus that were similar to this. So it wasn't like Jesus was coming up with a totally new phrase. But He was the first one to state it in a positive way. So back in that time, there was one phrase that says, whatever is hateful to you, do not do to anyone else. So if there's something that you didn't like that was wrong, Don't do that. Repeat that to somebody else. Jesus was the first one to state this principle in a positive way. Say, do to others as you would have them do to you. And if you do that, you sum up all the law and the prophets. Why? Because if you truly loved others as you love yourself, you're not going to cheat on somebody else's spouse. You're not going to kill them. You're not going to steal from them. You're not going to lie to them. You're covering a lot of the Ten Commandments there, right? You're not going to take their donkey, all right, or their car, okay, right? That was their mode of transportation back then, right? All right? They probably compared notes. Oh, man, you got the newest donkey out there, right?
Hybrid.
Hybrid. There you go. Hybrid, yes. Yes. Yeah, it's a mule, yes. Yes, they, you know what? Things have changed, but I don't think those things have changed at all. All right? You totally missed my, I totally lost my thought here. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. And by doing that, we do fulfill all a lot of scripture, right? You can have all these different laws, but if we just implement that one golden rule within our lives, we eliminate a lot of rules that have to be done. If we just simply treat others as we'd like to be treated ourselves. That is the third principle. Treat others as you wish to be treated. Just think about the ramifications of this. If every word that we spoke, every action we did, every thought that entered our mind was geared to treating others as we desire to be treated, how would that change the world around us? How would that change our relationships with our spouse, with our kids, with our coworkers, the people we interact with throughout the day, treating others as we'd like to be treated? You know, and God, I think, tested me a lot this past week and a half, 2 weeks. So it was 2 weeks today that we were in an accident. It could have been much worse, okay? We were not hurt. But, you know, even just, you know, she hit us. We could have, you know. She was a young college girl, you know. You know, whether she was distracted, whatever that means, I don't know. We could have been upset. Fortunately, we weren't hurt, you know. And then you have the assurance adjuster, and you know, he was a nice guy, but you know, everybody said, ah, they'll give you a rental car. The head lady said, hey, they'll give you a rental car, and he just drug his feet, says we need to do this and this. By the time he approved getting a rental car, we didn't need it anymore, right? And that was frustrating, but I kept a good attitude, and Dave is back there, and I know Dave. I know if he's been in that, and I know the hectic pace that being in that type of line of work is. And so I had that in mind, and I thought, you know, they're inundated with the flood victims and stuff too. That's impacting the insurance business. Tried to just stay very nice and pleasant. And, you know, the guy ended up being a nice guy. I think we ended up coming out okay on the deal. But to treat others as you'd like to be treated. And the guy yesterday that was trying to sell me additional insurance, I really thought about giving him a piece of my mind and a few other things. Do to others as you'd have them do unto you. There's going to be people that push your buttons. That's a given, isn't it? Right? And when we are most susceptible to that is that when we're tired, when our spiritual life maybe isn't where it should be, but we can be emotionally tired, physically tired, spiritually tired, and all of a sudden somebody knocks our cup. And what comes out of that cup? The love of Jesus? Maybe. Maybe not. Right? And sometimes it's not always doing unto others as we'd want to be done unto us. And I'm not saying all this is easy. I think at times it's the most difficult thing. But God has called us to live our lives in a way that honor and glorify Him. And that's true spirituality, folks. It's not just being spiritual when the spotlight is on you. It's being spiritual when you're at your worst and when you're at your weakest at times. And sometimes spiritual weakness and emotional weakness, sometimes, you know what, you don't get a good night's sleep for, you know, the dog was barking next door, or maybe there's something on your heart. Maybe there's things happening within your family that you're caring about. Sometimes there's emergencies, right? There's reasons why we don't get a good night's sleep. It's not all bad stuff, but those are the times we're very vulnerable to not reacting the way we should before God. You know, it's how many are watching the final, March Madness? Are any of you into that? Really? Okay. I got one bracket that's doing well, but the one that I entered with my family, they're just kind of owning me. So my new daughter-in-law, she's the one that's just kind of, she's just tooling on all of us, I guess. But I use the analogy of the sports world. I think there's just a lot of things we can learn about that. But when you play at that level, and especially in a tournament like this, there's a lot of intensity out there, right? They're giving it, they're pulling it in all out there, they're trying to win this game. There's a lot of intensity, and they're pushing against each other. I mean, they're giving it all, they're all, right? And then all of a sudden, at certain times, somebody reacts, you know? They don't stay in their composure, right? Did they have an excuse to react? Probably. But if you're going to play at that level, you have to play under control, right? You have to, even in the heat of the moment, you still have to keep that control. And that's what we have to do with, even within our own lives as believers in Christ, because that's when we're most vulnerable, susceptible to going outside of that. And guess what? People will remember the times that you react in a way that's not godly, right? You may be reacted a bunch of good ways, and all of a sudden you mess up once. And what do they remember? The time you messed up, right? That moment of weakness, that's the time they remember, right? Right? Yeah. We're all human, but God calls us to walk in such a way, to stay golden in our lives. That's the final thing, and just my conclusion here. Stay golden by being true to yourself, innocent, uncorrupted, unblemished, unstained in a corrupt world. Should I say that again? Stay golden by being true to yourself, innocent, uncorrupted, unblemished, unstained in a corrupt world. That's hard to do, isn't it? Because God has not called you to be like other people. He's called you to be like Him. To be like Him. And that is a high, high standard. But you know what? God's able to do that. God's able to. You can't do it in yourself, but God's able. Musicians, will you come? Tessa read that verse earlier from James. Says from James 1, be slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger doesn't produce righteousness that God desires. Anger in itself isn't wrong. It's when we act on that anger in a way that's out of control. I think there's some things that should anger us. God's created us with that emotion. There should be some things that make your blood boil. Honestly. But your response, that's the key, is that you have to respond in a way that glorifies God. And he ends in verse 27. James says, your religion that your God accepts that is pure and faultless is to look after orphans and widows and their distress. Some of that happening in Nebraska right now, isn't there? It's right at our doorstep. And keeping oneself from being polluted by the world. Pollution's a big topic. But we're being polluted every day when we turn on the TV, when we sometimes interact with people, the stuff that we read, the stuff that we see. Pollution's all around. It's wanting to corrupt our soul. It's wanting to get in there. But God wants us to keep a pure heart that's golden before Him, that is right, that is pure, that is innocent, that is blameless, that is innocent. Amen? You stand this morning. First of all, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, we're going to give you an opportunity to pray that prayer and to pray with some people, just to confirm that and to for you to publicly just to agree with somebody and invite Christ in your life and get you on the right track, on the right journey with Him. But I also want to I believe this is a message that just kind of hits where the rubber meets the road. You ever heard that expression, right? This is where we live. Most likely this week, maybe even today, you're going to have to deal with this content. Somebody is going to do something to you, and you're going to have to respond in a way that glorifies God. How are you going to react? Are you going to be golden in that hour? Or is the old you going to come shining through? Are you going to be golden? Or are you going to be human in that hour? God wants you to be golden. He wants His goodness, His righteousness to come shining through your life. And only God can help us in that. In our marriages, in our relationship with our family, with our kids, our interaction with each other in the church, and outside these church walls. Amen? Father, this morning we just come before You. Your word is truth. It is life to us, Lord God. You've called us to be golden. You've called us to be the light of the world. You've called us to treat others as we would like to be treated. You've called us, Lord God, to judge ourselves, not others, Lord God. You've called us to prevail in prayer for wisdom and guidance in how we act with our relationships, Lord God, so that we can bring You glory, Lord. But that's hard, Lord God. We're human. We're vulnerable at times, Lord God. And at times we want to go back to the old us instead of staying golden, staying in Your truth and in Your word. So, Lord God, this morning, just where we're all at, Lord God, I believe that Your Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Maybe even just some of the things that have happened this past week, God. Just give us the strength. Lord God, forgive us when we reacted in a wrong way. Maybe we even have to go and mend some fences with people, Lord God, and go before them and say, hey, you know what? I did something wrong. I misspoke. I reacted in a way that didn't glorify God. Maybe we need to do some fence mending. Maybe God is just speaking to you right now. But Lord, we just pray that You would help us to live each life, each day, each moment, to stay golden, to stay in a way, Lord God, that honors You, that is innocent, unblemished, that is pure, that is holy, that is unpolluted in this world. Lord, we give You the thanks, the praise, dear God, we ask You. I'm going to have Jay, if you'd come, and Christy, if you could come and help in prayer this morning. If you have a prayer request, if you want to just agree in prayer over the message, if you need to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you've never asked Him in your life, I'm just going to invite you to come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll help you in your journey. And we want to close with this course. Just let God speak to you by His Holy Spirit this morning. And let Him finish the work in your life. Amen? Amen. God, I think this message maybe hit home, especially if we have difficult relationships in our life. That's where I just sense God speaking, that at times we felt like we were up against a wall and we've done everything that we can do. Maybe we've thrown our hands up in the air and said, God, we give up. And I just sense that God is wanting to give some breakthroughs in relationships today. That maybe we're dealing with. And maybe just by every eye closed, if I can just every eye closed. And if there's a difficult relationship in your life that you're just kind of at your wit's end, you just need God's help, would you just raise your hand? Just let us go to God in prayer this morning. Just between You and God. Father, this morning we just come before You, Lord God. We thank You that You are faithful, that You are good, Lord God. And Father, You've given us Your word to live by. And Father, You told us to ask, to seek, to knock until we get that answer, Father. Lord God, You're not going to give us a rock instead of bread. You're not going to give us a serpent, Lord God, instead of Your perfect gift, Lord God. And so, Father, this morning we come before You. We stand on the promises of Your word, Lord God. Help us to prevail in prayer, Lord God, for the wisdom that we need, Lord God. Lord God, we are human, Lord God, we're frail, we're vulnerable, Lord God, we are imperfect, but Lord God, I just pray for Your presence, Your glory, and Your Spirit to shine through our lives, Lord God. Lord, let us stay golden, let us be pure, let us be unblemished, let us be pure and unstained in this world, Lord God. Lord God, we give You the thanks, Lord God, we give You the praise, and we ask it in Your precious and holy, wonderful name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God's good, amen. And maybe you have to mend some fences. That wasn't in my message. I just feel like that was God speaking. because the song talks about freedom. And there's been many times that I haven't reacted the right way. But you seek that person out, ask for the forgiveness, and you set yourself free. They can forgive you or they may not forgive you. That's up to them. But you need to set yourself free. I need to turn this over to somebody. So.